Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 15 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. An interviewer once asked a very wealthy man, "What do you think about death? Don't you worry about dying?" The man responded, "No, I'm fatalistic. I protect myself as well as anybody can. I prepare for things." But then as the rich man started to walk away, he hesitated for a moment. "No," he said finally, "I don't believe in reincarnation. I don't believe in heaven or hell. But we go someplace." Again a pause. "Do you know," he added, "I cannot for the life of me figure out where we go." Like he has for every other human being, God has put eternity in this wealthy man's heart. And even though he can't explain it, he knows it's there. Friend, many people in our world are like the rich man, except they don't have the billions of dollars that he has. He's lost, and he doesn't know it. He's lost in sin, and he doesn't realize it because he thinks he's having the time of his life. His money gives him the power to have things his way, the way he likes. Now, whether we want to admit it or not, we like to think that we're in control of our lives. But in reality, either sin controls us or the Lord controls us. I know, we'd like to think there's a third way, a middle-of-the-road approach, but there isn't. We're either walking with the Lord or we're walking with the evil one. Jesus made it very clear that no one can serve two masters. In Luke chapter 18, verses 18 to 30, we have the account of a rich man who came to Jesus with a question. This man was very wealthy, but something was missing. Something wasn't quite right, and he knew it. As we examine this portion of Scripture, we'll see clearly that this man was looking for eternal life. So listen carefully as I read Luke chapter 18 and verses 18 to 30. "Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother.' And he said, 'All these things I have kept from my youth.' So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.' But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, 'How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' And those who heard it said, 'Who then can be saved?' But he said, 'The things which are impossible with men are possible with God.' Then Peter said, 'See, we have left all and followed you.' So he said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time, and in the age to come, eternal life.'" When someone is looking for eternal life, he or she must look in the right place. In this text, Jesus' interaction with those around him reveals several critical directions one must look in order to find eternal. The first direction is the upward look. The parables Jesus gave in the opening verses of chapter 18 are unique to Luke's gospel. But the verses of our text record an incident that's found in the other gospels. By reading the accounts of Matthew and Mark, we gain additional insight into this interaction. Matthew records this was a young man. Luke says he was a ruler, most likely of a local synagogue. Mark tells us he came running to Jesus and knelt before him. And each of the synoptic gospels tells us that this man was very rich. So, he's often referred to as the rich young ruler. This incident takes place while Jesus was in the way, or on the road. Now remember, he's traveling to Jerusalem for the Passover, and the way, or road, is probably crowded with travelers who are all heading in that same direction. When you think about the position and the status of this young man, his actions are noteworthy. These details give us a sense of the young man's sincerity. So here he was, a young man blessed in every conceivable way, and yet he still had a sense that something was lacking in his life. He wanted to know how to secure eternal life. It was the most important question he could ask, and it's also the most important question you and I can ask. He was so in earnest that he came running to Jesus, which, by the way, was not very dignified for a man of his position. And then he knelt before Jesus, a gesture of submission and humility. Something he'd heard about Jesus must have convinced him he could find an answer to this burning question about eternal life. Now, when you're kneeling in front of someone and you want to address them, what must you do? You must look up, right? Ah, the upward look. It's the first direction you and I must look in our quest for eternal life. Like this young ruler, you and I will never secure eternal life unless we're willing to look up, above ourselves, our possessions, our status, or whatever. Look up to the face of Jesus. But you know there's more to the upward look than just lifting our eyes. Our understanding needs to be lifted too, just like this man. He addressed Jesus as good master or good teacher. Scholars tell us there's no other recorded instance of anyone ever addressing a rabbi as good. So the very strangeness of his address amplifies his sincerity and leads us to further instruction. Jesus asked him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Rabbis of that day had a saying, "There is nothing else that is good but the law." In their understanding, a man's obedience to the law would lead to acceptance with God. And so this young man, at least in his own mind, obeyed the law conscientiously, and yet he still sensed a lack of assurance of eternal life. Jesus came to fulfill the law for us. He's asking this young man whether or not he understands who Jesus really is. And this is a critical question in the upward look. So we could phrase Jesus' question like this: "If you call me good, and God alone is good, are you recognizing that I am God in the flesh?" As we'll see, the young man's response gave Jesus the answer to that question. Now notice also that though the young ruler addresses Jesus with great respect, his focus is on himself. He says, "By doing what shall I inherit eternal life?" The doing is emphasized in the original text. Now, to be fair, his understanding was like many of his peers. The rabbis taught that eternal life could be secured by one particularly righteous act. So he evidently thought that Jesus could tell him what that act was. Then he could attain eternal life. Sadly, there are many people today who think they can earn God's approval, either by the things they do or by the things they don't do. And just like this ruler, they must take the upward look. They must be confronted with Jesus' claims of deity. And in order to do that, Jesus turns the young ruler's gaze in another direction. That direction is the inward look. Jesus, knowing this young man's life, responds to his question by asking him about the commandments. If indeed one believes it's possible to obtain eternal life by doing something, then that something must be to obey the commandments. Jesus led this young ruler quickly through the second table of commandments, and I can almost visualize his thoughts as he ran through that checklist. With almost no hesitation, he says, "Master, I have kept all these from my youth. What do I still lack?" I believe this gives us a glimpse into the young man's heart. Even in his sincerity, something told him that keeping the commandments was too easy of a way to attain heaven. There must be something greater, something more demanding. The young ruler's answer to Jesus' question was plausible when you think about it from a human perspective. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said of himself that he was blameless according to the righteousness which was in the law. He was raised as a Pharisee. But you know, once God's righteousness sheds its light on our human condition, our covering is about as sufficient as Adam and Eve's fig leaves were. As Jesus looked on this young man and listened to his quick response, his heart was moved with compassion. Then Jesus answered the crucial question, "What do I yet lack?" He takes the young man to the 10th commandment, which is given in the negative, "Thou shalt not covet." And as he so often did in teaching about his kingdom, he reveals the positive aspect of the command. The opposite of covetousness is generosity. It loves your neighbor as yourself. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Looking for Eternal Life. Now, the quickest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Once again, that email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Looking for Eternal Life. We'd be happy to send one to you. You know, it's my hope and prayer that you have already found eternal life in Jesus Christ. And friend, just so you understand, you can't do anything to inherit eternal life. It's a gift that's freely given to all those who repent and confess their sin. Remember, the scripture says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." If you're still looking for eternal life, then I urge you, please contact us. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Looking for Eternal Life, either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, Looking for Eternal Life. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.